And support for this wonderful radio station comes from listeners like you and Rhyming with Miss Ida, specializing in children's rhyming books such as Poor Old Goat, Sad Little Dog, and more. Details on Miss Ida's children's books are at rhymingwithmissida.com. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, WMNF 88.5 FM. Welcome to the afternoon.
In the days of my youth, I was told what it means to be a man. Now I've reached that age, I've tried to do all those things the best I can. No matter how I try, I find my way into the same old jam. Good times, bad times, you know I've had my share. When my woman left home for a brown-eyed man, but I still don't seem to care. Sweet 16, I fell in love with a girl as sweet as can be. It only took a couple of days till she was rid of me. She swore that she would be all mine and love me till the end. When I whispered in her ear, I lost another friend. Oh, good times, bad times, you know I've had my share. When my woman left home for a brown-eyed man, but I still don't seem to care. Smoke it. I know what it means to be alone. I sure do wish I was at home. I don't care what the neighbors say. I'm gonna love you each and every day. Within my heart, can't you feel the beat within my heart? Can't you feel the beat within my heart?
Well, good afternoon. I'm so glad you're tuning in. Thank you for being out there. My name is Joellen Schilke. I am the hostess who loves you absolutely the mostest here on WMNF 88.5, the best station in the nation. This show is called Art in Your Ear. In just a few minutes, we're going to be chatting with Perry Neri. I don't know. I love saying her name, so I'll just say it repeatedly until I say it right. She's a visual artist who's been on the show because of her art, but we're going to be chatting with her about her website, refrigeratorpoetry.org. It's a website that allows artists to feature their work and find new audiences. It's pretty good site to tool around, my opinion. We also have a bunch of stuff going on in the Tampa Bay area we'll let you know about, plus stuff that's happening here, right here on WMNF that I want to let you know about. There's something I really want to let you know about happening here on WMNF tonight. Fridays are unusual days because we sort of cover a zillion different genres here on just one day. So a little bit later, after this show, is E Love's show, which is this fantastic electronica, global electronica, kind of swoopy, beautiful music. And then we've got a live music showcase, and that features a local live performance, followed by the Rhythm Revival, which is sort of the roots of rock and roll. After that is a classic soul party, classic R&B and soul, and that's from 6 to 8. At 8 p.m., then we have a little special treat for you. That show is called Soul Kitchen. So I have a smorgasbord of all sorts of R&B, soul, hip-hop, jazz, everything. I can't even begin. They play everything on that show. But tonight, Ed Green and Ed Green will be together at last, along with David Bryant. Ed Green, host of our Tuesday's Freak Show, is going to come in and chat with Ed Green, host of Da Soul Kitchen. So that will be a really fun mashup tonight. I hope you listen from 6 to 8 p.m. So there you go. Thank you. And then we're going to get back into some music and then hopefully come back with Perry on the line chatting about refrigeratorpoetry.org. You can go to that website and play along as we chat. Send in your questions to DJ@WMNF.org or text 813-433-0885. Put your name in it if it's okay for me to say hi to you on the air. Thank you so much. And that's Yo Lo Tengo. Friday, I'm in love covering The Cure, and I'm sending that song out to Suzanne and Sandy, huge Yo Lo Tengo fans. I was thinking about their big Hanukkah shows in New York. So thank you, Suzanne and Sandy, always supporting WMNF, always being great WMNFers. Speaking of great WMNFers, I have on the line with me Perry Neary. Perry, hello.
Hey.
Thank you so much for calling in today. Thank you for coming in.
Well, it's my pleasure.
So, I asked you to come on because now I'm trying to think about, is it a year ago that you started this website, Refrigerator Poetry?
I think so. I think it has been a year. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's certainly been a year since we started talking about it. We had our first online exhibition in September, so it took some time to get it started. But, yeah, we started talking about it a while ago.
So the pandemic has had a lot of different changes for all of us, and some of them not so great, some of them kind of awesome. And one of the things that changed for me was that where I previously sort of paid attention to a few art websites, I was not loving looking at art online. It was more a way to discover somebody and then sort of go on from there, not to just consume art in that own, like, as that is the primary way. But the pandemic, you kind of didn't have much choice.
Right.
You're like, it's either you make it, you see it, or you're not doing anything. You're looking around your house. So I'm really super curious as to what was the decision that you all said, okay, you know what, this is nuts. I want to mention that you are a working artist. You've been on the show before because of your art. So, but
exactly.
What happened? How come this? How come a website for art, sort of for everybody?
Yeah, like another website about art, right?
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, we started. My friend of mine, Mark, we've been friends for a long time, and the pandemic forced us out all into our homes, and we were just talking a lot about art, and it was like art world before February 2020, and the art world after, right? Fewer galleries, business models are changing, there's less collectors, prices are dropping. I mean, it's just like, oh, there's this big shift in the paradigm, and what could we do about it, or how could we, not really change it, but, you know, how are we going to fit into this new shift? And we started brainstorming about it and about how we could preserve this moment in history because it really felt like an important time. We couldn't quite pinpoint it, right? It's like there's art still being made during a pandemic and now in a quarantine. Communities of artists also, everyone's making art. Where is this art going? Who decides what art is? What is good art? What is, we talk about art history as a reflection of time, and this seemed like a really important reflection of time. And we both are big lovers of art history, right? And it's just that we understand it as not linear. And, it's more like a cloud or like spaghetti or even like a smorgasbord. I mean, it's like it's very, very dynamic and very shifting all the time. So we're like, how do we do something with that? And, it's really just kind of brainstorming about exposing artists, right, to the art world, maybe a different art world. We didn't really know, but we just wanted to be about exposure. And that's basically where it started from, just talking about how to do that.
There's
to include all art, not just the experienced artist. Well, I want to see what everybody's making.
I want to talk a little bit about that, because I will say, as someone who has had the absolute joy and pleasure and honor and everything good, there's also a lot of stuff out there that that's not well thought out, not complete, not necessarily for me, including the qualities that I need for something to be sort of art in my head. It might be decorative or something like that. And there's some websites that have anybody can have anything on it, but when it's, how do you make sure that there's enough quality that people aren't going to be like, oh, this is just this is, as it's like the refrigerator, this is just something that somebody's put up on the refrigerator. How do you make sure that it's not going to be overwhelmed with stuff that's really mediocre?
Yeah, well, I think that was the big risk here, right, was to say, if you identify as a visual artist, we want to see what you're going to do, and we're going to put it up because We're not your judge. We're not your jury. We are interested in what's happening at the time, right? And I see it more as an archive, a true archive of what's happening in the art world, a slice at a time. You know, like, we want to see what someone's making in most recently. And yeah, is there going to be some stuff that's not going to be maybe as well thought out and as experienced painter would do? But it's still a reflection of the time. It's still art, and it still fits. And when you put it all together, I think if you look at the site, you will see that it all works together. The experienced artist, the novice artist, it's there. And we see it as a progression. And I don't know. I look at it, and I understand that they're all at different levels in their career. And I will still argue that they all work well together.
Well, I think what, and then maybe you can help me with this, because how it seems from where I am, just an outsider looking at the art, that you, you've curated now September, October, November, now December, and you've got, you're open for January exhibitions, which features, do they all feature 10 artists? I wasn't counting. But they feature the artists.
So far it seems to be averaging about 10. I mean, we would love, you know, as many as that's just how it's starting. It feels like it's starting off a little slow, but then I think about it, it's like, no, that's not really that slow. We, you know, considering what we're up against.
Well, but also if it's more than that, I think I thought that was intentional, because I mean, I work on websites and SEO for websites and designing websites, and that's actually the absolute perfect number to have in a show. So I thought it was completely intentional.
It's really just how it's been turning out.
Right.
And I like it because I can manage it pretty well.
Right.
But I'm also really open to seeing more. But what I love about it so much is that they're coming from so many different places.
Well, wait, before we go into that, because I do want to talk about that, I want to back up a little bit. So you have, you know, there's dozens of artists on the site already. You know, I mean, there's just dozens. But the art exhibitions that you're showing are more curated. And so it seems to me that you have sort of the two things on the website. People can go through, and dear listeners, if you go to refrigeratorpoetry.com and then you can go to /artists, you can see all the different artists, groups of artists on there. But so you have artists that anyone can submit and post a image, but then you all are curating shows which can highlight some different artists. And I think by creating a group, you know, like this month has a, you know, very abstract, but there seems to be sort of this this flow and this energy that unites all the art pieces, even though they're pretty different from each other. So I was wondering, is that sort of intentional, that you can use the, you know, what's the purpose of having the exhibitions, and what are the purpose of just having artist listings? And I just wanted you to talk about that for a minute.
Sure, yeah. So what we're actually archiving are the exhibitions. And then those exhibitions are the things that people submitted for that month. It is not curated in that sense. It is the work that came to us. So then we take that exhibition, and that whole exhibition is archived. And then we take all those artists are now part of a bigger picture, and that's the exposure part. That's giving them a profile. That's giving them a place for people to go and say, "Oh, I think eventually what will happen is we will have." An opportunity for writers and curators and the students of history to look at the site and just see what's happening in the world, you know, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty exciting, but it is really just the way it's working out. It's not necessarily curated at all. It's the work that's coming in for that month.
Right. Oh, how interesting. I didn't realize that, because that's really cool. So and then before we get into sort of the variety and kind of what you're learning and stuff like that, I do, let's just walk through what an artist has to do now that people are hearing about this. And, you know, we're going to try to promote it. We've got it on our social media and stuff like that. But, you know, when you're promoting and letting people know about your site, what is the process for someone to be able to join Refrigerator Poetry?
So all they really need to do, well, they have to go to the site, and there's a place where you just hit submit. And there's a small little questionnaire about stuff like your name and your website and if you're being represented by a gallery or not. I mean, we're not a store.
Mm-hmm.
We're not selling work.
Right.
We are just exposing artists. Yeah. So small information like that. One image, just one image a month. Nobody can do more than one. And you submit it to me, and I look at it, and we, you know, make sure it meets some very standard, basic guidelines that are just simple. You know, like it has to be.
It has to be yours.
It can't be threatening or hateful. It can't be harmful to minors. You know, things
right.
Like that. You know, it's very. It can be any kind of medium. It can be any image. It's. We are very curious about that. We want to see new things. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious as an artist. So yeah. So that's it. And you upload it. I look at it. I send you a little bill for a small fee, and that's it.
Right.
And it goes up.
That's it. And then it just stays up.
And it stays up.
Right.
It stays up. It will be there forever.
So if someone wants to submit another image, you know, if I joined in November and then December I want to submit another image, do I go through the process again or do I just then submit another image?
You can go through the process again. I think it's easier because we do still need all that information for the image, but
right.
you wouldn't have to give us all that information, just
right.
basically the image information.
Right. So nice.
Yeah,
it's
quick.
So now Mark that you are sort of created the site with,
yeah.
Is he also a visual artist?
He is, yeah.
And then does he also, he teaches as well, doesn't he?
No, he's an architect.
Architect, okay.
So
having a site built by artists and by creators, like what was important to you when you all coming up with a concept, like what was the thing that, you know, I mean, we've talked a little bit about you wanted to reflect this moment and sort of be capture art history as it happens in a way, but actually sort of in the functioning and the purpose or the outlay of the site, what was sort of like, yeah, we have, you know, as an artist, I need this.
So for us, I think at our core, we wanted to empower anyone who identifies as an artist, first of all, to give them this opportunity to present new work. Work in development, we're very curious about, and maybe even groundbreaking work without any kind of prejudice. You know, jury shows are great, but there's somebody out there making sure your work fits into their theme or, you know, if it's big enough or small enough or, you know, there's so many rules in the old art world. And we wanted a space without those rules because it just opens up, I think, curiosity. I think people learn from it. I think we get a better vision of what's going on. I just find it way more interesting than seeing the same thing that someone has decided is what art should be and what we're spoon-fed, you know, certain kinds of aesthetics that someone says, this is what art is, that is not art over there, and I'm saying it's all art.
Mm-hmm. There's been times when I have gone to shows and curated shows, and and sometimes that they have been, and most of the times I would say, luckily, that they've sort of exploded in my head. You know, them like, wow, you know, this, and because of the juxtapositioning of work, or just because of the internal theme that curators were working with, meanings have sort of bubbled up that maybe I would not have seen, or maybe would have taken much longer to get to. And that was one thing when I was looking at your current exhibition and the past exhibitions, that there's this sense of, through the juxtapositioning of work, but also through sort of the knowledge of this, you know, you've got one person from Lagos and then another person based in Ireland and then,
yeah.
you know, and then a couple of people in Brooklyn and then someone here in Florida, you know, so the idea that here are some people and we're all sort of going through the same thing in the world, yet because of who we are and where we are, we're experiencing it in different ways and how to show that. I want to give a shout out to a name that surely I will butcher, and I apologize, but it's the first artist listed on your website, and it's stunning. His name is, I think, Aziz Afiz, and I'm not even going to attempt his last name, from the place I'm completely obsessed with right now, Lagos, Nigeria. And it's a, you'll have to say the word, sagraffito?
Oh, yeah.
On stoneware?
Yeah. Yes, he's a potter, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just, I mean, it's stunning. I mean, it's mind-blowing piece. And so
write about that and submit it to a Refrigerator Potion. I will post it.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And so how did Aziz Afiz find you? Like, how do they know? What is that process? How did you get that word out?
Yeah, social media. Instagram has been my, that's what I do. I do it all. I'm posting on Instagram every day, at least three or four artists, just getting the word out. And these artists, they're coming to me from that site.
Oh my God, that's wonderful.
Yeah, no, it's really, really exciting. It's like I get something almost, not every day, it was every day for a little while there, and I see this thing, this submission come in, and I open it up, and it's from this beautiful, you know, work from this person from Nigeria. I'm like, are you kidding me? It's so exciting.
I know. I mean, really, you must have melted when you saw that, because it's it's an astonishing piece.
Yeah, yeah. It is astonishing. And I've looked at his website, and that's the thing. It's exposure. I've been exposed to this art now, and I put it on the site. I've looked at his work. I look at it all the time. I go to his website. I see what he's doing. And that's the beauty of this site. That's what we want to do. You know, that's what I'm doing with it.
Right.
I when I'm hearing from other people, they're doing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's introducing people to the art world that maybe they haven't seen before. And I know the internet is great for that, but sometimes it's just overwhelming with images that you don't do a deep dive. And we want to invite that deep dive into refrigerator poetry. Mm. That's what we want. Yeah, that work is amazing.
Obviously, I'm neglecting my duty here. Refrigerator poetry. How come that name?
Oh, well, that name, we started off with a whole different name because we were basing it on this idea of the No Jury Prize from the League of Society of Independent Artists, and we're trying to do something. And I came up with this League of Extraordinary and Independent Artists. This is all this big mouthful, but I thought it's short for Leia, right? And I just thought superhero Leia and all this kind of stuff, but I could never get a domain name for that, nor could I ever compete with the Sea of Star Wars website.
Right, yeah.
So we were coming up, we had already figured out what we're going to do, but the name eluded us. So I have post-its and I'm writing all these ideas like Art Hive, Hive Mind, Exhibit, just a whole wall full of these yellow post-its. And I'm like so frustrated. And I said, Mark, this feels like I'm looking at refrigerator poetry. And he goes, that's the name.
Aww.
That's exactly how it happened.
That's so funny. That's wonderful.
Like, yeah, you think so?
You think? Yeah. All right. Okay. That is great. Well, and speaking of Perry Neary, she is one of the creators of Refrigerator Poetry, refrigeratorpoetry.com. I was saying .org, even though .org brings it up. And then Mark, what is Mark's last name?
Wright.
Right. And Mark Wright is, she and Mark developed this site and run it. I want to, so now you have, gosh, how many artists on the site? About 60?
Oh, heaven.
About 60 artists.
I have like almost 20 now. Yeah.
Right. So have you, at the beginning, were you just on Instagram inviting? Did you want to start off with, because I've looked at the site when you first wrote me about it, and I want to say you had about 20, 25 artists when I first looked at it. So did you sort of go out and gather people, be like, please, I need you on my site so we can publish? Or how did that work?
I kind of did. I'm on the executive board at the Painting Center in New York City, right? And so, I talked to my colleagues from there. I said, hey, this is what I'm doing. What do you think? You know, showed them the website. And I'm very happy to say that a handful of them are helping me out. And they got it. They got on there. And from there, that was my humble beginning. But then I really just pushed it. I put it on refrigerator. I put it on Instagram right away. I did a big mail out to people. And one artist, I think what happens is one artist does it and then they tell another artist. So it's kind of been an internal thing, but now it's gone past that. But that's really did start that way when I was just asking my colleagues to please, you know, put something in this thing. It's going to be really exciting. And they did. So that's how it did start. But we wanted it, you know, definitely want it to grow. And it is growing. It is growing. I'm really, really excited about it.
And I do want to let people know that on Instagram, it's refrigerator_poetry_archive. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, that is.
So refrigerator,
mm-hmm.
poetry, archive. I just followed you. Shame on me for not following you before. Sorry. Just followed you because we multitask here on Art in Your Ear, usually to our detriment. That time it worked out. Well, let's talk a little bit about some of the artists also on the side, because really it's just there is a range. And you've mentioned a couple times that you've got someone that's been making art for years and years and years.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head, can you name a couple different people that you want us to highlight?
Oh, sure, yeah. So Joanne Rothschild, she's been painting more than 50 years, and she is from Boston. She's in galleries and museums, and, you know, she just wrote a book, right? And she is also she's a colleague of mine through the Painting Center, so I know her from that. But she is just on board with the history and understands what I'm trying to do. And so she put up a piece, and I was just really honored that she did.
Mm-hmm.
So she's someone that I was like, wow, thank you. And then on the other side, we have an artist, Patrice Pfeiffer, who's from Seminole, I believe.
Oh, my God, her work is great.
She spent most of her life raising her family and working as a nurse. And her outlet for creativity has always been there, but she just recently turned to a more mixed media and digital art, and she's just found this vehicle, and she wanted to share what's in her heart with everyone. And mm-hmm. so she submitted something, and I was just so, I almost cried when I read that. Like, this is exactly what we wanted, you know? This is the range of work that we really want for this site. Another person, you already talked about Aziz, another person, Joanne McFarland, she's in Brooklyn. She's an artistic director. She's also a curator. She's an artist. She's a poet. And now she's on refrigerator poetry. Her work is stunning. Her website, her work is amazing. I would recommend you look at everyone's, but particularly Joanne's. And so that's the range of art that's coming to us. I just couldn't be more proud and more thrilled. And every time I get something, I'm just as excited.
When you get something, do you wait until it's in, that monthly exhibition before it goes up on Instagram, or does stuff just, we just keep putting it up there?
Yeah, so I kind of got this system now down. I've been, learning. So I do a current artist, and past one, so like an artist spotlight, and then a future one, who's an upcoming artist.
Oh, nice.
So at least 3 posts a day, I do all 3.
Right.
So I give you a little bit of everything.
Good. Good, good, good. And I just want to remind listeners, we said that the Instagram is refrigerator_poetry_archive, and you could see all these different art things. And, honestly, if dear wonderful listener, if you're listening to the show, you probably are a little bit like me, that there is just this like calming, soothing, wonderful, exciting influence of going to an art website and discovering art and discovering artists. And it's just a pleasure. And it was really fun tooling around your website and finding all these different people. As you're a visual artist, is there any influence, either energy-wise, time-wise, content-wise, inspiration-wise, between refrigerator poetry and your work?
You know, my work is shifting, and I don't know if it's because of seeing all this work coming my way and just being doing this amazing deep dive into other art, and I just adore artists and I adore art, and I don't know why it's shifting, but my work is shifting. It's off a stretcher now. It's just hanging on a wall, and I have a show coming up in New York in a few months, so it's definitely changed. I'm not sure why, but it just has.
Wow.
I'm open to it.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. It's definitely different. Yeah. I'm not 100% sure why it's shifting because of all this. I don't know, because this is the world in general.
Right. I think that, I have to say I'm one of those people that gets a little anxious if somebody's making the same sort of work 30, 40 years later. So, so I get you. And I want to mention your work is easily described, most easily described as abstract. But for me, like, there's abstract work, which is so specific, emotionally and specific intellectually, though visually it may not always be as specific or figurative. I feel like you're one of those very specific abstract artists, you're a communicating artist. And that's what in the December exhibition that you have right now, that's what I was sort of, I looked at all the exhibitions, but there's a sense of, there's a lot of abstract work in it, not all, but there's sort of this sense of, they're trying to tell me something, like they're very specifically trying to communicate with me.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's just, and again, it just happens now. I do put it in a, I do curate the order I put it in, because I do, I'm attracted to the line, and I'm going to make a piece of art out of the show, right?
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
So I do that, because I see the threads, too, and so I try to put the threads together in a way that makes sense to me, and that's just my artistic eye. But, yeah, I see that thread, too. I do, and a lot of times, there's a real common palette. Mm-hmm. It's not like I asked for it, you know what I mean? I'm not putting out, hey, send me some green stuff, you know? Send me stuff with lots of straight lines. I don't know why it happens, but I see it, and it's just very intriguing to me. And I'm not an art historian, nor, you know, do I pretend to be. I just love art history. But I think there's something here that an art historian could probably pinpoint better than I could.
I think that
people do that.
I mean, for me, artists are people who are sort of they collect. You know, years ago, I had a dehumidifier, and mm-hmm. And it would take moisture out of the air, but it would collect it, and water would appear. And I thought, this is great. Like, this is what we need for, you know, to do this solar power, and people will have water in different areas. But to me, artists are sort of the same thing. Like, there's all this stuff in the air, and they collect it, and then they create something useful. You know, so I think there's a lot in the air these days to collect.
I think there is too. There's just that alchemy, right? And
yeah.
I get so excited about it, because I think if I'm looking at the art in my community, and I see this common thread, and now I spread that out to another community and another whole town, and then I get art from somebody in Ireland who I just, you know. When I saw that name come over, I thought, I didn't even recognize the name of the town. I'd never even heard of it. You know, it sounded like something from Game of Thrones. And I was like, who is this? And I saw a common thread there. I was like, that is really telling to me that we are connected. We really are.
All right. Well, we're almost out of time, and I'm going to ask.
Okay.
I hope it's not a tricky question for you, but
okay.
I know. But as an artist, you know, you have one of your pieces featured in the exhibition. When you've curated your own work within this like group exhibition, do you know what piece you want to put in? But even more than that, does it change? Like, are you looking at that piece? How do you regard it any differently, or do you have to regard it in a more disconnected way to understand where, if your piece is included, how to curate your own work?
So how I do it for this particular site is I do the thing I just finished, because that's really what I want to see. So whatever that piece is that I just finished that month, or even if it's just in the process of being finished, that's the piece I want to put up.
That makes sense.
I don't think of it any more than that.
Right. Right. Good.
And then however it fits, it fits.
I think sometimes overthinking is the curse of the artist. The overthinking is the curse of all of us, isn't it?
So, well, yeah.
Right. No, that's good. That's a good guardrail, you know, because you could get caught up in something.
Yeah. Because I have an advantage, right? I can see the work coming in, and I don't want to do that. I want to curate my work into the show. So I follow my own sensibility of how I want this. What I want to see, and I want to see the most current work from everyone, if possible. I had an artist call me and say, I'm going to be a little late with my submission. I'm still trying to work out a piece of it, right? I'm like, perfect.
Ah, oh, nice.
Until midnight before the show opens. You can't get any better than that. I will wait for you.
That's awesome.
Not a problem.
And you do, I mean, have you given yourself that flexibility that, you know, okay, this is coming. I don't have to do it like... You know, I don't have to do it at 9 a.m. on December 1st. Or is that nope?
Yeah.
Rules.
Yeah, I have. And I also know I can slip it in later, you know, if it's
right,
not
yeah.
quite there. You know, it's really okay. We're very, you know, we're a living, breathing, you know, thing.
That's good.
Like, the sooner you give me your work, though, the more exposure you're going to get.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. It's just that simple.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you, Perry, so much. The website is called Refrigerator Poetry. It is a pleasure to tool around refrigeratorpoetry.com. If you are Googling or using a search engine, just put minus, like the negative, minus magnetic, and it's a lot easier to find that way.
Good.
And there's, and honestly, I mean, I just had so much fun last night. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to look at all the artists on the website. And 2 hours later, because everybody took like this deep dive, it was just such a, and yesterday was a really nice day, and it was the perfect day perfect way to top off a really nice day, just sitting in my backyard under the moonlight looking at art. So I was in heaven, and I appreciate that very much, that you you are the person that created that to happen.
Wonderful. Oh, I love to hear that. Thank you, Joellen.
Sure. And so, and then Instagram is refrigerator_poetry_archive. And I will post all of this up on our Facebook page. It's already on, some is on our Facebook page, but I'll share it through all our social media and on the website.
Beautiful.
So we'll say hi to Randy.
I will.
And
okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
That's a little Helado Negro covering Deer Hunter with Futurism. Before we get going here, let me put on a little instrumental in the background. How about that? I have so many instrumentals. So here we go. We play a little Butos Band in the background. I have so many announcements for you guys. It's a little insane. I do want to mention there's a call for work, and it is a national call for post 9/11 stories and video submissions, and it has an online submission form. This is going to be posted up on our Art in Your Ear Facebook page and also on the website, wmnf.org/events/Art in Your Ear. And this is in the wake of the 20th anniversary of 9/11, Art to Action and the Arab American National Museum are hosting an online call for submissions of post 9/11 video stories. So they're inviting anybody, especially people who are in the, the Arab American and the diaspora of that, but anybody who has been affected by post 9/11 events and policies to reflect on the era with them. So that is a pretty cool thing coming up. And people will remember 11 Reflections on the Nation. We work with Andrea Assaf and Art to Action on a lot of things. And it's a super quality organization. So we will post that. Or if you want me to email it to you, I can email that to you. Also going on in the area, the Hillsborough Arts Council would like me to remind you that, oh my God, what did I just do? Here we go. The Hillsborough Arts Council has has put out its deadlines for arts grants. And we are, I want to let you know what some of those dates are because they are not that far away. Is music too loud? There we go. Cultural development grants for Hillsborough County. Cultural development grant applications will be accepted January 17th. Not far away, January 17th through February 18th. Community arts impact grant applications, there are going to be accepted April 15th through May 13th. And then community arts impact grant for higher education is the same time, April 15th through May 13th. And then there's professional development grants that are accepted later in the year. So if you were thinking about applying here in Hillsborough County for a cultural development grant or a community arts impact grant, time to get started on those things, my friends. The Hillsborough Arts Council offers a ton of different ways that they can help you and you know, work with you on the grants. They've got classes and stuff like that. You can go to hillsborougharts.org to get more information about that. So there's that. Also, I want to let you know that on Tuesdays, I'm very Tampa-centric today, I guess. On Tuesdays, what am I saying? On Thursdays, the Tampa Museum of Art does this nice thing called Art on the House. And so from 4 to 8 p.m., the Tampa Museum of Art will offer where people can pay what you will. And they have one coming up next Thursday. So if you've got people coming into town and you want to send them off to do something while you're getting your house ready and ready for the holidays, send them to the Tampa Museum of Art. But no, or just go yourself. It's a wonderful place. And you can see just all the different things they've got going on. That's Art on the House on Thursdays from 4 to 8 p.m. Pay what you can at the Tampa Museum of Art. Oh my gosh, there was something else I was going to tell you. Oh, well, I don't remember what it is, but I'll figure it out. I am sure. Going to play a little bit more music for you. I've just had so much fun picking out music. And here we have, I was thinking of our friend Linda Liu. And I was just thinking, this was one of the songs when we used to go to the islands I would play a lot. This is The Marvels with Rock Steady.
This is Frankie Mopar with the Retro Jukebox. I'm here pushing the buttons every Wednesday morning, 3 to 6 a.m. Every week, we'll start out the first hour in the 40s and 50s, and then the second hour will start in the early 50s and progress through the 60s and a little 70s. Music is memory, so let's journey through our lives together. The Retro Jukebox, every Wednesday morning, 3 to 6 a.m. on your community conscious radio station, WMNF. If you can't make it in person, the show is available 24/7 at WMNF.org.
Frankie Mopar, great show. We have so many good shows. And if you can't listen at 4 o'clock in the morning, hit up the archives. I listen to so much on the archives. It's a really great treat. You can listen to shows 1 week past their date, and then the new one uploads. It's a wonderful way to discover music. So much good stuff. Well, thank you for listening to WMNF today. Thank you for listening to Art in Your Ear today. Thank you for listening to WMNF today and always. We hope that you are enjoying the music and the news that you cannot hear anywhere else. We want to continue doing it, so we are turning to friends like you to donate to our end of the year drive. Please call 813-238-8001 weekdays or give at WMNF.org. And thanks for your friendship. Thanks for being out there, y'all. I mean, it's just, this is always a highlight of the week. Hi to Mark for writing in. It's great to hear from you, one of our musician friends, and loves music and loves our wonderful Latin music block on Wednesday at nights. Stay tuned for E-Love. She has some fantastic music and wonderful energy coming at you for the next hour after the news. And then, of course, Live Music Showcase is on after that. Next week will be our holiday music. And who knows, maybe I can find some comedy and stuff to throw in there. We are going to be here on Christmas Eve, and I look forward to playing it for you. Usually I dislike playing holiday music, but I'm going to have so much fun with it on Christmas Eve. So I hope you will tune in. You have been listening to Art in Your Ear on WMNF Tampa, WMNF Tampa Bay. Thank you for being part of 88.5 FM. We're going to go out with some Funkadelic. Talk to you next week. Take good care of yourselves, okay, everybody? Bye-bye now.
Kisses later, come back, sign insufficient funds.